let's have prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we are celebrating a high Sabbath here with Susanna and her decision to publicly show her love and allegiance to you. And Lord, we're grateful for the fact that we have a sanctuary to worship in, a place to give you our time and our attention and our hearts. And now, Lord, we pray that you would continue to speak to us as only you can through this little pastor. Lord, may you speak big words and touch our hearts, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So have you noticed that in God's brushstrokes of painting the world, that the master artist skillfully painted men and women actually quite differently? Take, for example, what happens when a man or a woman enters a public restroom. Now, when a man goes into a public restroom, he's very focused, very task-oriented. He's not looking left or right. He's certainly not talking to anyone. He does his business, and then he immediately leaves the restroom. Right, men? Now, when a woman enters a restroom, this is an opportunity because women are multitaskers. This is a chance not only to take care of business, but perhaps to meet a new friend, perhaps have a conversation, perhaps even a therapy session in the restroom. Men and women are different. There are other ways that men and women are different, you know. Women have a tendency to speak a few more words than us men. And I'm going to generalize here, so, you know, there may not be exact, but women, they will get lost. And us men, we don't admit that we get lost. Now, men are hunters and women are gatherers. And men protect and women nurture. And men are logical and women are emotional. And men compete, and women, they cooperate. And men are handsome, and women are beautiful. And men are task-oriented, and women are multitask-oriented. And they're relationship-oriented. And men are masculine, and of course, women are feminine. And men like blue, and women like pink. Oh, red. In fact, an explosion of biological research shows that, in fact, stereotypical differences cannot be trained into a child. Little girls simply like to play with dolls, and little boys and even big boys like to play with guns. Apparently, God has hardwired men and women differently. It's the way it is. Question is, how are we to treat our differences? Are we to celebrate them or to try to condemn those differences? Differences go beyond even what we've just mentioned. Differences are also in how we look. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig trees together and made coverings for themselves." After Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, the differences between them became much more apparent. And rather than celebrating their differences, they began to hide them. They covered those areas that were very different. The differences between men and women go beyond the physical, but go beyond even personality. The differences are even seen in our brains, how we think. Now, research shows that 85% of men are left-brained. That means they're very logical and task-oriented. And women, on the other hand, are not only logical and not only can reason, but they also are able to process feelings and relationships all at the same time. Now, men, our brains are compartmentalized, right? We're able to focus on one thing really, really well. Right now I'm preaching, but I'm not going to be able to do anything else. But women, they're multitaskers, multi-thinkers, and you know, they're able to balance all kinds of stuff going on at the same time. However, because men are gladiators of focused thought and champions of mastering a given task, typically they will rise to the top in any given category. But make no mistake about it, men and women are different. But what if God wants us to celebrate those differences instead of fighting about them, instead of trying to change each other? Kids, the word for today, no, it's not differences, it's husband or wife. Count how many times I say husband or wife, two words to get you your treat. Today we begin part two in our four-part series entitled The Art of Marriage, and if you're single, you might be thinking, oh, great. This is not going to apply to me. But, you know, I hope it does. I hope that somehow you can learn more about Jesus, learn about your future marriage, and learn about what God has for us in marriage. Last Sabbath, we talked about the fact that marriage really is not designed primarily to bring us happiness, but instead foremost to bring us holiness. And one way that that can happen is praying. I hope that you are able to pray a little bit more together if you are married with your spouse. Praying together is powerful. The Lord uses our spouse to help us learn how to love, how to forgive, and how to be one. In fact, your spouse is God's gift to you. Now, next Sabbath, we're going to change it up a little bit. We're going to change it up. You're going to stop hearing from a preacher talk about marriage because, you know, I'm not the perfect husband. Just ask my wife. We're going to hear from other couples. And they're going to sit up here in a panel. And they're going to share their experiences with marriage. And I asked one of the couples, it's going to be a mystery who these four couples are. They already know who they are. I asked one of them, you know, isn't marriage really easy? You know, like, you know, I've only been married 1 or 2 years, and it's so easy. And the lady said, oh, you haven't been married long enough. You know, I mean, the fact is that every couple is going to have some challenge. And there's also times when it's really hard. But that doesn't mean you're not right for each other. And we're going to learn more about how Jesus is the glue. He is the third party of every marriage, every successful marriage. You won't want to miss part four of this series, by the way. It's going to be April 26. And I'll just tell you this. We're having children's church that particular Sabbath for a reason. So you won't want to miss April 26 if you're an adult. Oh, sorry, May 26. See, I can only do one thing at a time. Yes, May 26. Be here if you're over 18. 18 and over, you can be here. Otherwise, you got to be in children's church for that particular sermon. But today, we want to take a closer look at what the Bible says about the role of husband and wife. So I invite you to open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. I'll be in the New King James Version today. It's always interesting when we get marriage advice from someone who is single. Have you noticed they have the best advice? They're single and they're giving advice. But anyway, here with the Apostle Paul, he's single. But we can trust his advice, right? Because he's a godly man. So he's going to give us some advice here about our roles as husband and wife. Here we go, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 and 24. Wives, maybe I should have someone else. Honey, maybe you should read this one. This is hard. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I think the sermon's over. A few more things. Now, Paul begins his discourse by illustrating that a wife is to be compared to the church, and husbands, we are being compared to Jesus? Ooh, that's very humbling. Just the idea of that word submission, though, submit, whoa, all of a sudden, it's not such a nice verse anymore. Do you know why? Because the dictionary, Dr. Green, the dictionary for submission is a little negative. You know, it's some definitions say non-resistant, unassertive, bowing, cowering, subservient, second class, lower, inferior, without a backbone. No wonder we don't like that word. But that is just one definition. You know, in the English language, there's one, two, three, four, five. There's multiple definitions for the same word. And here we have Jesus, through Paul, using this word submit. But what we're going to find is that it's not that particular definition. Can I get an amen? Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 says, "Then the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper as his," what? Complement. Okay. To be a helper is God's special intent and purpose of a wife. That is what it means to submit. To complement your husband. Now let me illustrate. There is a man named Peter. His last name, Flaherty. Peter, he was very ambitious, and he was married to Nancy, and he found himself the county commissioner. So, you know, he's kind of got a big title. Anyway, he was with his wife at a construction project, and there they were looking on as the county commissioner. You know, he needs to be supervising these things. And so as he's looking, all of a sudden, one of the construction workers yells out, "Hey, Nancy!" That's his wife. "Hey, it's me. We used to date in high school, remember?" County commissioner, you know, Pete. It's like, look, you know. Wow, okay. Well, when they got home that night, "Honey, aren't you glad you married me? I mean, that guy, I mean, imagine, if you would have married him, you'd be married to a construction worker." So Nancy looked him dead in the eyes and said, "No, if I had married him, he'd be the county commissioner." See, wives, they complete the husband, if we husbands will listen. You know, it's a well-known fact that there would be no President Ronald Reagan without a Nancy Reagan. Do some research on it. You'll find wives complete their husband. That's what it means to be submissive. That is one reason that God asks wives to submit to their husbands, because God has plans for this imperfect man. And he is using you as a wife to help bring him to his full potential. One author put it this way: God himself gave Adam a companion. He provided a helpmate for him, a helper corresponding to him, one who was fitted to be his companion, who could be one with him in love and sympathy. Eve was created from a rib taken from the side of Adam, signifying that she was not to control him as the head, nor to be trampled under his feet as an inferior, but to stand by his side as what? An equal, to be loved and protected by him. Let's read it again. Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, the Greek word in the New Testament, in this context, is a word called hupotasso. Hupotasso, that's the Greek word for submit or submission, which means, quote, to voluntarily complete, arrange, adapt, or blend as to make a complete or a whole. Amen. So submitting to your husband means being his helper and assisting him in his growth, in his character development, in his refinement, helping him with his blind spots, being Jesus to him. It's voluntary. God is asking us wives to do that. It fulfills her responsibility. It also honors his responsibility because he is to be the leader of the family. Just as Christ is the head of the church, that means we husbands are to be like Christ and to lead our families. Now, when it comes to submitting, none of us really have an issue with it if you think about it. You know, if we go on an airplane ride, right? We've all been on a plane. We get on board. Immediately, who do we submit to? To the flight attendants, right? Can I sit here? Can I, you know? All of a sudden, we are like little children. Is it okay if I put this here? Can I have a 7-Up? You know, right? We are submitting because we acknowledge that they have authority in that setting. God has appointed a certain authority arrangement in the family. The husband is to lovingly lead his family, and his wife is to be at his side. Now, how humbling it is for us husbands to actually be compared to Jesus. How did Jesus lead? If we were to actually do a Bible study and look at the way Jesus led, husbands, and I'm talking to myself here, we have a lot to learn, right? Because Jesus, he was one that empowered. He was one that was respectful and kind in his leadership. He was gentle, intuitive, patient. He never dictated anything, right? He modeled it. Jesus led by winning the heart of his followers, showing that he had their best interest. And husbands, are you starting to get the picture that Jesus is the mentor, is the model for how to lovingly lead our family? That's why we husbands need to sit at his feet once a day. And we need to, you know, be in his book once a day and have a conversation with him at least once a day on how to lead like him, to be the head of the family as he asks us to be. Husbands and wives were created differently, different roles, but we each need to spend time at his feet. Now, unfortunately, we live in a generation where husbands are abrogating their responsibility as leader of the home. And as a result, the wife has to pick it up. Primarily, where a lot of men are failing is not being the spiritual leader of their home. Now, we we husbands like to lead by being a provider, a protector, an instructor. We like to be a leader. You know, let's go here. But most importantly, guys, we are called to be the spiritual leader of our home. That means initiating family worship, saying we're going to go to church. That means that we are going to, you know, have prayer together. It's being a spiritual leader in the home. Now, what if Jesus, because we're being compared to Jesus, right? Husbands, we're being compared to Jesus. What if Jesus said, you know, I'm just too tired. Just don't really have the energy to save the world. I'm too tired to save the church. Fact is that God does not give any conditions on being a husband that leads. He just says, be the head of the family. Be connected to him. So wives, we're called to submit to husbands, and husbands, we're called to lead. And husbands, then let us lead humbly. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. Wow. Husbands, we are called to not just lead like Jesus, we're actually called to love like Jesus. And how did Jesus love the church? Enough that he left heaven and came down and sacrificed everything, risked everything for you and me, the church, giving his life. No greater love than a man lay down his life. So we husbands, we're supposed to love like Jesus? That's impossible. Huh? That's impossible. That's why we have to be at his feet every day. Every day. Jesus, help me to love like you. Help me to lead like you. Jesus is our mentor and our role model, men. Now, some of you husbands might be thinking, you know, wait a minute. Do you know how my wife treats me? I mean, she interrupts me. She's critical of me. She seems to be an expert in finding all of my flaws. She ignores me at times. Did I tell you that she was critical of me? Yeah, she is. So it's kind of hard to love her when she's like that. You know, if she kind of backs down, then I will start to love more. I'll show her the love. But I'm going to send her a message that if you treat me like that, then I'll show you. But again, the Bible doesn't give us a condition, men. It doesn't say if, then. It just says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the imperfect church. We imperfect men are called to love our imperfect wife. Regardless of how we're treated. Now, husbands, you know, think about it this way. Your wife, she is that multitasker, right? She's able to have the logic and the reasoning ability that you have, as well as a sense of being able to manage relationships and all kinds of things. When's the last time you really affirmed your wife? When's the last time you used some special words to tell your wife how much you really love her, that you really admire things about her? You know, some evenings when I come home from work, I'm like, oh, I am so tired, you know. and I can't wait to just relax. And I get home, and who is a busy bee in the house? You know, cooking, having a phone call at the same time, doing an email over here, maybe finishing a ministry project there, settling the squabble over here, helping do a work assignment there, and I wonder how my wife is able to do all this. And I'm like, whoa, wow. And now I can just think it, or I can start to say, well, you know what, you are pretty incredible. I want to affirm you, first of all, with some words of praise. You know, us guys like words of praise. We tend to give what we want. We'll say those nice things, and that's great. But then the next step is to actually contribute. So then it would be, honey, I can see that you're cooking right now, as well as helping her, and then you're on the phone too. Hey, how about if I actually empty the dishwasher? Hey, maybe I'll start a load of laundry. Maybe I will get involved, even though I'm tired. Because guess what? She's tired too. See, that's what it means to love our wives. It's actually have a servant heart. That's what Jesus had. Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Of course, we men are called to demonstrate our love with words, with actions, but also with a mindset that we still are pursuing them. We're still pursuing their heart. And one way that we can show that we're pursuing them is by dating them. Right? So guys, hold me accountable. I'll hold you accountable. Let's go on more dates with our wives. Dennis Rainey puts it this way: you may be married, but you're still competing for your wife. Ephesians 5:28-29. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. It's interesting. How many times in Ephesians chapter 5 do we men need to hear it, love our wives? Okay, we heard it. You said it once. No, he said it again and again. I mean, come on. Are we that slow? How come the wife wasn't told to love? How come it's just the guy? Because wives already do love you, men. They're hardwired to love you. In fact, at the tree, with the fruit still in their hands, God said, hey, Eve, you're going to love your husband. Some would say that's a curse. You will be under him. You will look to him. The issue will not be whether or not you love your husband. It'll be another issue. But the other question is, us wives are wondering, do we husbands really love them? Do we really love our wives? Now you ask a husband, hey, does your wife love you? Yes. Sky is blue. Yes. Does your wife respect you? I hope so. Women are really good at sharing and showing their love. And men are really good at showing respect. I'm going to show you respect. You know, I honor you. You're a man. I respect you, Brad. But the woman is not so good at maybe necessarily showing respect to the man, and the man is not so good at showing love to the wife. Apparently, we're called to celebrate the differences somehow, so we've got to get this right. We've got to figure it out. And Jesus has given us an instruction manual. through a single guy, Paul, who apparently was called to be single. And sometimes we just are. Sometimes we are called to be single, and that's okay. Because as Paul said, and we said it last week, there is some trouble when you get married. There is going to be some challenges. In the book, Love and Respect, Dr. Emerson Edgerich's shares an interesting survey among men. The survey asks one simple question. Would you prefer to be left alone and unloved in the world? Men, would you prefer to be left unloved and alone in the world, or to feel inadequate and disrespected by everyone? Or to feel inadequate and disrespected by everyone? Which do you think the men chose? They're both bad. 75% of men said they would prefer to be alone and unloved than to feel inadequate and disrespected. Apparently, this idea of men needing to be respected and feel respected is so significant, it's even in our passage. Dropping down to verse 33, Ephesians 5, 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife. There's another reminder, guys, to love our wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Are you starting to see the picture here? We have a tendency to give what we want. I'm going to show you respect, honey. No, I want love. I'm going to show you love, honey. No, I want respect. The question is, how do we break this cycle? Because sometimes we have a tendency to withhold, expecting to get. Guys, I'm talking to the men now. We are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. So we are to actually take the first step here to break the cycle. So, what are the ways that we can show love to our wives? Right? We got to have some practicality here. What are the ways that we can practically show love to our wives? Six ways. Number one, get connected to her every day. I'm learning, I know this from experience. I mean, my wife basically wrote this part of the sermon. I mean, really. Based on what the Word says and based on what women need, this is it, guys. Number one, get connected to your wife every day. So, Lena and I have been shooting for a certain time in the morning, earlier in the morning, early before the kids get up, to connect. And then, bonus, connect in the evening too, a time where just she and I looking at each other. That emotional tank gets refueled in our wives' heart when we connect with them. Without doing anything else, guys. Number two, never go to bed angry with each other. This one's hard, especially if we feel, guys, if we feel like, oh, you know, she didn't treat me very, she didn't respect me. But you know what? We're supposed to be the leader of the home, so we're supposed to then, I believe, make things right. We're supposed to take the lead and be the peacemaker. Not keep track, like, oh, you know, it's your turn. No, guys, we are to lead, the spiritual leaders. Never let an argument go to part two and three and four in the multiple days. Remember to love your wife as Christ loved the church. I'm preaching to myself, guys. Number three, share your thoughts and feelings. You knew that one was coming, guys. Come on. And you know what? We do have thoughts and feelings, right? Beyond the cliche, beyond the facts, beyond the routine, we do have thoughts and feelings. Guys, when we share those, it's cleansing. It's beautiful. And we tell our wife we love her when we do that. Listen to your wife. Wow, listen to your wife. Actually, we will save a lot of trouble if we listen to our wife. But we also show them we love them. Because our wives, they have a lot of wisdom. And Number five, reassure and praise your wife. Let her know you would marry her all over again. Wives need to be reassured, right? So do us guys. Write her a note. Take a moment. Send her a message, even a text. Number six, be the spiritual leader of your home. Plan the family worship. Call it. Have a time of prayer every day. I don't know if it's the morning before you go to school like we do or in the evening. Guys, let's lead. Bring your family to church, men. Be the spiritual leader. Now, wives, okay, we got to be fair here, right? Okay, it's time for the wives. I could see Roberto. He was wondering. What about the wives? Wives. Are there ways for them to show respect and to submit to their husbands? What are the six ways? All right? Number one, tell your husband you respect him. It's that simple. That means you actually need to notice what you respect about him, and that takes some effort. But let him know that you appreciate him for what he does. He does a lot. He does more than you think. And your unconditional respect is what your husband is craving. Number two, appreciate the conqueror in your husband. He may not be in the military like some, but he is pursuing. He's got a career, or he's looking for a career. And let him share his war stories and listen to him. Because that's, what a man does is important to his identity. Let him share and listen to him. Number three, honor his responsibility to lead. The husband has been called as the head of the family. Encourage him then. Encourage him. Be beside him. If he forgets to lead family worship, say, okay, hon, should we go ahead and do that now? Should we go ahead and, encourage him and he will appreciate your co-leadership. Number four, guard your tongue against disrespectful talk. It's amazing. The mood of a husband can rise and fall based on the words of the wife and even the tone. Catch him doing things right. Tell him about it. Number five, respect the insights of your husband. Submit to your husband as your partner. He has God-given authority. Listen to him. And number six, pray for and with your husband. Now, men and women are different. That's the way God designed it. Probably be a lot easier if we were kind of the same, right? Guys get along with guys pretty well, but that's not the way God designed it. Adam and Eve, put them together to complete the ultimate relationship, and this is the design of Jesus Christ. You see, a marriage actually represents who God is, much further than us individually. We are two different beings. Men are blue, women are pink. But what happens when you combine those two colors? Then you get a color called purple, which means royalty, which means that you are part of the court of God in heaven. You are his prince and princess. I just want to conclude with this one thing. I want to conclude by asking the females that are here, if you would do something and if you would stand right now. Females, if you would stand, please. Now, while you're standing, guys, can you imagine this world without a female? Huh? Yeah, I mean, females, I mean, if you're, some of you are still seated, you don't have, I'm talking about every female. Yeah, please. Now, you represent a very distinct image of God. A very distinct image that cannot be found in a man. When you are combined with a man, in marriage. Wow. So, guys, would you acknowledge that this is God's masterpiece right here standing? Let's give them a hand right now. Ladies, stay standing. God's masterpiece. Now, men, and, you know, boys, men, stand up, please. Men, you are also created in the image of God. Not complete, right? You're not the complete image of God, but you are in the image of God. And men, God has done some great things in painting you. And so, ladies, could you give the men a hand for how God has created them? Guys, we're all God's children. We're all God's children. We all have a father who loves us. We all have a father who thinks we're royal. And we have a bright future ahead of us to live forever with him. And could it be he's just preparing us through our spouse, through our future spouse? I think he is. Let's have prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for making men and women different from one another. Thank you for the skill and the craftsmanship and your artistry, Lord, of a beautiful woman and a handsome man. And Lord Jesus, for those marriages that are here, I pray blessing upon them, that, Lord, they would see the beauty of you in their spouse, and that they would see that their marriage can be a greater masterpiece as they make you their third party. Lord, I pray for the singles that are here, those that have a future spouse. Maybe some here that say, oh, I'll never get married, but Lord, you might have a plan for them too to get married. So may we be submissive to your plans for our lives, that you would be complete in our lives. We love you, Lord. Thank you so much for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us remain standing as we sing hymn number 655, Happy the Home.
We are the house of prayer, so if you have a special need, come forward. We will pray with you. Now let us pray. Lord Jesus, would you bless us and keep us? Lord, would you bless us in our marriages? Would you bless us as singles until we get married? And would you walk beside us every day? You love us, Lord, and we love you, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.